We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
All right, welcome in. Episode 104 of the podcast, and we got a special one for you today that we're excited about. We did this last year. We were in New England, and we brought Ryan Pace on the podcast, and he's kind enough to do it again. Now, last year, we asked you if this was the first podcast interview you ever did. You said yes. So would this be your second one?
I think this is number two right here. So I appreciate
you. Oh, thanks for coming back.
Yeah, no problem.
I think we got to start with there's a controversy brewing here in Bourbonnais, and we all knew it was coming, and it's that Adam Johns did not show up to the media basketball game. we got to start there with your thought. I don't know if you heard about that.
Issues.
I don't know if Brandon Faber filled you in, but he was just a no-show.
Who won? I haven't heard the details.
It wasn't pretty for us again.
That's 2 years in a row, right?
Yeah.
Well, see, they clearly missed me, and that's why there's bitterness.
Yeah, a little bit.
Was it more competitive this year?
It was.
All right, good. There's the stuff.
The score really wasn't that close still, but it was definitely more competitive.
Good news.
But like John Fox said, the best ability is availability, right?
We were in town, at least. We weren't out of the country at this point.
Yeah. All right, well, let's dive in here. So the obvious place we need to start is with the quarterbacks, and I imagine you got to be pretty thrilled with the way Mitch Trubisky started on Thursday night.
Yeah, he played well. I think you saw, a lot of the traits that, we valued and we've talked about, and a lot of the things I'm sure you guys have seen in practice as well. It's always interesting when the lights come on and, his first, NFL, albeit preseason performance. But I think you saw, the athleticism and the accuracy and the poise and some of the things that we value. So that was very encouraging.
How do you not get too far ahead of yourself? So, I mean, you guys have this plan. The word plan has been used, I think, a thousand times. But it's one preseason game. How do you temper maybe your own excitement?
I think, Adam, you look at any rookie quarterbacks coming in the league over the years, and there's going to be ups and downs and ebbs and flows, and you kind of anticipate that. It's the process of any young player's growth, especially at that position. So, hey, you started off on a good, a good foot, but there's a lot of preseason yet to be played, a lot of progress still to be made, but it's good to start off on a positive note.
I think what surprised me is, well, here at camp he's had some up and down moments, interceptions on the goal line and things like that. He struggled in two-minute drills down here, situational stuff. To see him come in a two-minute situation, start off 10 for 10, I mean, were you at all surprised yourself, though, the way he came out and when the lights are on?
I wouldn't say, that I think obviously he was prepared. I think he talked about, mm-hmm. Having the script and kind of, having a better feel for what was coming. And, a lot of times, too, you get in these preseason games, especially late, and, there's some vanilla things happening defensively that I think can aid a young quarterback. But I wouldn't say I was surprised. And some guys, we've seen them throughout our careers when the lights come on, they step up. So, again, I love that room, love the quarterback room. It's definitely a competitive environment from really one to four. And, it's good to see.
I was thinking about this yesterday. You had Drew Brees in New Orleans. John Fox just coached Peyton Manning in Denver. What happened Thursday night? I know it's just a preseason game, but those of us that have lived in Chicago for all our lives, like, we haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Like just a quarterback take the field that way, that with that much confidence, and just from the start, bam, bam,
bam. He looked like he belonged immediately.
We realize it's a preseason game, but it's just – did you have a sense for that maybe on Thursday night at Soldier Field? Because the crowd, you could tell, they just sort of perked up in the second half.
I love – that's – I did – you do feel the crowd, and I think it applies. I look back on the preseason game, and obviously there's things you want to get better at. There's things we were happy with. But I think you look at the positives and, you look at his play and you look at Leonard Floyd and Kwiatkowski and Bullard, and I thought Sims played well. And so I think in general, I think when the crowd sees, hopefully a surge of some young talent coming in, it is an uplifting moment. And it just makes me proud to be part of this and hopefully giving the fans something that they can cheer about.
So when you're I'm going to have fun with the word plan here. Planning your plan for your quarterback situation. At one point, maybe in that plan, is there the plan to maybe change the plan?
Yeah.
What if, you know, if Mike, it wasn't a good day for him, but let's say if Mitch continues to excel.
I think, you know, with Mike Glennon, and I know we've talked about this before, there's a lot of evaluation that went into that. And he's played in a lot of games, and Mike's had a really good offseason. He's had good OTAs, good mini camps, good training camp. He's practiced well the last 2 days, so I think he's responded well. And when you look back on that game, what was it, 18 plays, week one of the preseason, and, you know, I think Coach Fox talked about this, there's 10 other guys on the field, and so there's a lot of things that we can do better around him, and whether it's, you know, getting the running game going and, you know, working on our releases at the receiver position and things like that that I think can help the quarterback. So, you know, Mike's our starter, and we're rolling that way, but, hey, having competition throughout the field on all positions is important.
Yeah, and it's like any other position, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you eventually reach a point where you go with the guy that's going to be to give you the best chance to win. And I understand that Glennon, the plan you guys came in here with, it makes a lot of sense. I think the thing I was surprised, because I was totally on board with that, and still am, because the adjustment that Mitch is making from North Carolina to this offense here is really different. I think that's part of the reason why I was sort of caught off guard with how good he looked the other night, was because he was so in control of that offense. So, I mean, the bottom line, and I keep telling people this, is you don't necessarily know how it's going to play out, right? That's why you have the preseason.
And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to temper the excitement for Mitch at all. Like, that, you know, that's great to see. That's extremely positive. But I also want to be like, hey, Mike Glennon, it's one preseason game. There's a lot of things that go into that other than just one player. And, you know, there's a lot of evidence that supports that, hey, we really like him as our starting quarterback, Mike Glennon. So I want, I want to convey that support as we're talking here. Again, one preseason game, and I think he's going to respond well from that.
Mike has talked about ignoring the hype. John Fox just compared it to the Tim Tebow-like hype when he was in Denver, what Trubisky did. But internally, how do you handle that hype? I mean, these guys are engaged in social media. I mean, yeah. Mitch is on Instagram and stuff like that. I literally did a TV appearance on Comcast, and the broadcaster, Luke Stuckmeyer, is wearing a Mitch is our quarterback T-shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, there are T-shirts being sold touting this guy already.
Yeah.
Like, internally, how do you tune out the hype that's been born now?
You're talking about for him?
For Mitch and, you know, for Mike to see all that stuff.
You know, I think the more, and we talk about this a lot, like the more you can kind of keep your world small, you know, and you can kind of close it off. And, you know, and hey, it's Hallis Hall, it's Bourbonnais, it's home. And, and just keep your circle tight and your world kind of smaller. And I think, you know, I think if you have the right mental toughness that we all want, then you're able to do those things, you know, and block that out, you know, and shield yourself from those things and just keep yourself embedded in the locker room and, you know, within our culture. And I think we got the right kind of guys with the right kind of mindset to do that.
It's not just Mitch, but all these rookies from your much criticized draft class this year. they've looked really good in Bourbonnais. What did you like that you saw from them in the first preseason game?
You know, again, like kind of how they've done throughout the offseason, you know, the moment's definitely not too big for them. And, They've done a good job, and they step up at the right times, and I think we've seen it with Shaheen throughout the off season, and you know, with Tariq, and now you see Eddie Jackson coming on, not only as a safety but as a punt returner, and there's some college free agents that are playing well too. So I think it's a really good group. It's a really tight knit group, and there's kind of a guy behind the scenes that we never really talk about is our new player engagement, Soup Campbell. And he's done a great job with his rookie class. And I think he's kind of almost created an atmosphere where those guys all have each other's back. And it's a really tight-knit group. And I think it helps them as they kind of climb up this ladder.
One rookie, and I have to kind of couch this. Every year we kind of talk up a young player who stars in camp. And I know certain things struggle to transcend to real football. You know, when the lights are on, as we were talking about with Mitch. But Tanner Gentry, undrafted receiver. I mean, he's going up for balls over veteran cornerbacks. He's playing with the twos. He's every day, like today, a couple big catches. Mm-hmm. It seems like every single day here in Bourbonnais, Gentry is making a highlight reel play. I mean, he's made highlight reel plays that often. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Adam, he's just kind of quietly gone about his business, you know, and obviously he was extremely productive at Wyoming, and you see why now, you know, and he's got good hands, and he wins contested battles. So when the ball's in the air, he's going to go attack it and get it. And he's done a good job, and we're still, you know, early in the process, and, you know, we have three more preseason games to, again, kind of see it, you know, under the lights. But so far he's done well. He's another guy. The moment's not too big for him at all.
That wide receiver competition was interesting going into camp. It's kind of taken a little bit of turn because Marcus Wheaton hasn't been available, and unfortunately we found out today that he broke his finger too. So we'll have to see how that impacts things. But what have you seen from those wide receivers? I mean, they're getting pushed from an undrafted rookie like Gentry getting in there too. But you have Victor Cruz, who a lot of people are making a lot of how he played in the fourth quarter the other night. But you guys didn't really have any other options at that point. Guys were banged up. So I mean, how do you evaluate that wide receiver room right now?
I think it's a deep room. There's a lot of it's going to be interesting for us and difficult for us, which I guess is a good thing as we're approaching, you know, cuts and what we're going to do there. They all have different skill sets. They're all different. Again, you talk about Wheaton and the speed component he brings. It's going to be good to get him back out there healthy. Today was a little bit of a setback, but hopefully it's nothing long term. But yeah, they're all different, you know. And I think it's a young group too for them. When you think of Cam and Kevin, and it's, you know, and I think those in leaning on guys like Cruz and Kendall Wright, throw Braverman in there. I think, you know, you got to see them come together, and it's not just them as a receiver unit. They're gelling with the quarterback too, and as we know, that chemistry is important. And I think the only thing that you accomplish that is by more and more reps.
What have you liked from Kevin White? Obviously, there's going to be a focus on him. First round pick, coming off two major surgeries on the same part of his leg. Up and down moments, I guess, he can't. But what have you liked from him?
So here's, you think about it, he basically missed his first training camp, and then, you know, he had last year. So really, this is his second NFL training camp. And I think him stringing together consistent practices, you know, staying healthy, you know, he's taking care of his body. I think he's playing faster right now. I think he's progressing more and more with his confidence at a steady rate. He's developing as a route runner. I think Azani's doing a really good job with those guys. So I just think as long as we just continue to see that trend going upward, then it is exciting. Because you saw today, I think he had a good practice.
Very good in one-on-ones.
Yeah, he's a strong physical receiver that can go snag the ball and accelerate from that point onward. So I'm excited about him. I just think he's got to just continue to string together, you know, healthy, successful practices.
What do you make of that word confidence with him? Because it seems to come up a lot, and I think it's fair and understandable because of what happened the last 2 years that was out of his control. It's not like he wanted to get hurt. Zach Azani talked to us about it, and Kevin kind of had an interesting reaction to that. What did you make of all that?
I just think, you know, anytime somebody's missed some time, I know it's been frustrated for Kevin, and I think he's just eager to show everybody the player that he is and the player that we know that he can be. So I think it's more just, I think maybe we say confidence, maybe patience is a word too that could be used for him. Just stay the course, man. Just stay the course and keep on stacking good practices, what I think he's doing, and it'll come. You know, there's nobody that's working harder. There's nobody that's a harder critic on himself than himself. And I just think we're going to see progress the more he plays.
What other competitions maybe have caught your eye? Maybe list a few names if you can.
Yeah, I mean, I think the safety battle is a good battle. I think nickel corner is a good battle. I think this tight end position is going to be interesting. As we go through kind of the deeper into the running back position, that's going to be interesting. There's a lot of positions to point at, which is a good thing to be talking about right now, because that means we got competition there. Every one of these practices is critical, and every one of these preseason games is critical.
Well, you felt like this was maybe the deepest you've been since you've arrived. I mean, has what you've seen on the field kind of confirmed your initial beliefs kind of heading into Bourbonnais?
For sure. And I think, you know, we have, you know, nightly staff meetings where we talk about different position groups, and just hearing our coaches talk and hearing our scouts chime in, you can definitely feel the talent has risen on this roster and the competition that it's created. And so I think from that, it's going to create obviously a better team as this thing comes together.
Was it hard not to jump out of your seat when you saw Leonard Floyd get around the edge on that first play the other night?
Yeah, he's got a top tier skill set. He's doing all the little things right now, really good. So, getting extra lifts in, you know, focusing on his diet, just spending extra time in his body. Again, second year in the same system, I think you're seeing the results of that on the field.
And another guy who's been able to string practices together and stay out there. I wanted to ask you about the new technology you guys are using. You put a lot of emphasis on doing extra work with the rookies this year to get them better prepared. You're using that catapult system. Are you seeing those results that you were hoping for in camp? The injury list got a little bit longer after you played a game, but mm-hmm. for the most part, it seems to be better this year.
Yeah, I mean, knock on wood every time we talk about this, but I think it is, you know, and I think we recognize that it's a violent physical game, and some of these things are inevitable. But anything that we can do as an organization to help ourselves, we're going to do. And so, all the different technologies we've invested in, or our practice schedules or whatnot, I think we're always going to be tweaking that and looking at it every year. But I think. The GPS tracking devices, it's been something that, honestly, we talk about every night at a staff meeting. You know, we go over the injury report, we go over the practice scripts, but we also talk about the data that we're seeing in that. And it can tweak and adjust based on what we're seeing with certain players. And instead of just us having a feel for something, oh, I think this guy, we might be put, you know, now we have factual numbers in front of us to support maybe what our instincts and feel is.
You use the word violent, and you have one player who likes to call himself that, you know, quite a bit. We haven't seen Pernell McPhee in a while. I think I saw him crossing the parking lot maybe last week. But since he's been put on the PUP list, how's he doing? Where's his mindset at? Because this had to be kind of a discouraging setback for him.
And you know his, you know what his personality is like. Yeah. So he's working hard. He's frustrated because he's not out there. He wants to be out there with his teammates, but he's doing everything right. He's progressing just as we hoped. He's kept his weight down, which is important. And he's just eager to get back. But, you know, again, I never want to put a timeline on anything, but we're pleased with what he's doing behind the scenes, what our trainers are doing with him. And then also just kind of where he's at from a weight perspective. He's done a good job of taking care of his body.
Are you hopeful that this won't be a situation like last year where we didn't see him till week 7?
I mean, yeah, of course I'm hopeful for that. Okay. So, again, it's going really well with him kind of behind the scenes, but, you know, just want to be careful about putting timelines on anything.
Yeah. Kind of a fan question for you. Saw you interacting with some today. What are they bringing up to you? I mean, obviously this quarterback situation, competition, Mike Glennon, Mitch Trubisky's breakout game, it's got to be a topic of conversation. I mean, what are you telling fans when they come up to you here at Bourbonnais?
Yeah, first of all, the support here has been really good. I think from the first practice till, you know, today, it's been consistent, really good fan support out there. And I mean, these are diehard Bear fans that are positive and energized. But again, I think it's the whole roster. You know, we'll talk about the whole roster and not just his rookie class, but a lot of the additions. And I just think there's a general authentic excitement. And then I just want to convey back to them how much I appreciate their support. And, you know, I know last year was difficult for all of us and them. And it's just not that we're not already motivated and you don't, you know, live this every second of your life, but to see the fans out there and how bad they want it, it's just inspiring.
What's the biggest thing you've learned? This is now year 3 of this regime, and it's the first time you've been a general manager. I mean, what did you... Whether it was just the setback of last season or coming in, like, did anything change for you? What's the biggest thing you've learned over the last 3 years?
You know, I think you just get more comfortable in the role, like you know you would with any job. I think you learn on who you can lean on and like who you can delegate on some things, so you can focus on what matters. Because you know, I think in a lot of these positions, there's a lot of things that can distract you from what really matters, and there's a lot of things going on. Sometimes other than just football, and fortunately I have a really good group around me and a building that really supports all of us where we can focus on what matters, and that's building this roster up and winning games.
With the youth, I mean, we're young guys sitting here hanging out, at least call ourselves that. That alone has to be just, like we've seen it with teams in Chicago, the Hawks, young, win. Cubs, young, win. I mean... just having young players emerge as some of your best players almost immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, describe your excitement level in terms of that.
It is. I mean, it's kind of, you know, when we acquire these players as a group, when we draft them or sign them as free agents, you visualize this. But to see them out there playing, to see guys like Kwiatkowski out there making plays and Bullard, you know, stepping up and progressing as a player, it's exciting, you know. And it's a credit to the scouting process, but it's a credit to our coaching staff, you know, for the time they put in developing these guys. And then obviously it's a credit to those players and the work they've put in. But, no, it's exciting. And I think – and then behind the scenes, you know, things that we see is not just how they're on the field, but how they are as people, you know, and how they conduct themselves – you know, amongst our staff and in the locker room and staying here late at night, you know, putting extra film in and spending extra time with their teammates and all the things that, you know, are kind of born right now that materialize into a good, strong team in the future if you have the right kind of guys and the right kind of backbone. And that's what gets me excited when you see guys like that are just passionate about playing for the Bears.
I had one request for a question here. Now with Jay Cutler gone, competition for the best hair on the team. Someone wants to know how much you spend on hair products here.
So, you know who's got the best hair on the team is our punter. So, Pat O'Donnell.
Yeah, but, yeah. With his McLaren that he rolled up in Bourbonnais.
No doubt. No, it's funny, for Christmas last year, the skilled guys got me some kind of hair product thing that they were all pumped up about. But I don't know, man. All I know is the gray hairs are coming in more and more with each day. And, it's all good.
Last thing I have for you, we really appreciate you taking this time. As we look ahead to Saturday and going to Arizona, what do you want to see as you progress to game two of the preseason? I know you guys don't want to get into the quarterback reps or anything like that, but what can both Mike Glennon and Mitch Trubisky learn facing a different defense? Is that I assume Bruce Arians is going to want to get maybe a little bit more exotic, throw more at them as they get going here in the second preseason game. And I also imagine that Dow Loggins is going to want to open up things a little bit more offensively too, to test them.
For sure. I think the first thing that comes to mind when you talk about as we go through the preseason is fundamentally sound football, you know, crisp, efficient football. And again, these coordinators have a balance, right? Because they're not showing their whole hand either, you know, as we approach week one of the regular season. So there's a balance for them. But I think you like to see everybody kind of get in a rhythm. You know, just you can tell when the offense is in rhythm and things are going and we're able to run the ball effectively and things are balanced. And hopefully we see that. You know, I think, you know, in this last game, I thought the defense played well, especially early in the game. Special teams was played really well, especially early in the game, but kind of finish out a game and close out a game. And, you know, we're trying to win every one of these games. And I think it sends a message to your locker room. So not only starting well, getting in a rhythm, fundamentally sound football, but then finishing a game.
Well, thanks for taking the time.
Ryan.
We appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys.
Make this an annual thing here in training camp.
No, this is fun. So
I think last year we closed it out with a Larry Mayer comment.
Oh, yeah.
Is he no longer your assistant wide receivers coach?
Well, as we got further into kind of the evaluation room, there was we determined that he's injury prone, so we didn't want to get on the hook for his salary, so we're staying away from him.
Plus, he has no arm.
So you're saying Larry's on a non-guaranteed salary. That's probably right.
For sure. Well, thanks for having me on, guys.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Ryan.
Well, great stuff there from Ryan Pace. It's nice for him to sit down and talk to us again this year at camp.
I'm glad we got clarity in Larry Mayer's situation.
Yes, that was big.
Very important.
Yeah.
But a lot of good stuff in the quarterback stuff.
Because he has not been as involved this year.
Larry.
So now we know why.
Yeah. But a lot of good stuff on the quarterback situation. Obviously, he's hoping to see something good from Mike Glennon here against the Cardinals. Obviously, Mr. Trubisky does have everybody excited. He's excited. The Bears are excited. But they still support Mike Glennon.
Yeah, they want to be careful.
Yeah.
You know,
fair.
And I've been saying this too over the last few days. I mean, Mike Glennon is definitely not as bad as he looked on Thursday. And with Mitch, we talked about this on the podcast on our last episode right after the game. I mean, you give him all the credit in the world for what he did. You don't want to take anything away from it. But it is you have to point out, though, that Denver's in their most basic defense. They're not blitzing like crazy. And I think that Dow Loggins did a good job of simplifying things, reducing the reads. I don't think they were mostly full field reads, and so that made, and he had the script that Mitch talked about himself after the game.
Yeah.
You know, a nice script to go off. So it was a really, but you still got to go out and execute, and he did, and I think that's what's encouraging against better talent. But it is sort of, and you heard it from Ryan Pace there, you know, slow down a little bit.
But he doesn't want to, not completely, because
well,
this is still.
Yeah, you don't, you did draft
it's exciting,
him, you
yes,
did draft
yes,
him number
yes.
two overall.
So, yeah, I guess it's kind of, look, I think it's okay to be excited. He's clearly excited. But to be excited, maybe see a little bit more, because I think the Cardinals will be, throw a little bit more at him. He may see time with different players, and then you got the Titans game coming up, the all-important third preseason game. So this preseason means a lot to Mitch Trubisky, and so far so good, but let's see some more.
All right, so this is going to be our last episode from Bourbonnais down here. I think it makes sense to kind of wrap this up by discussing some final takeaways, maybe some big winners, big losers from training camp so far.
Okay. My big winner, Tanner Gentry. I hate making it an undrafted guy. I mean, okay, so Tariq Cohen, he's a playmaker.
Yeah.
Adam Shaheen, he belongs. They're going to have game day roles. But if there's like one surprise player who...
The biggest winner.
Yes.
The guy who gained the most from these practices down here.
I think it's Tanner Gentry, and I think in a way Hronas Grasu, because I think he's back in the mix.
Yeah,
not only to be your backup center, which he already was in a certain way, but now he's got experience at guard. With the injury of Eric Kush, you don't want to call him a big winner for that, but he clearly moves up the depth chart. So Hronas Grasu, Tanner Gentry are my big winners.
Yeah, that's good, and I'll agree with you on those. I think Adam Shaheen, Tariq Cohen, and Eddie Jackson, too. That really, this entire rookie draft class has been pretty impressive. I thought Jordan Morgan played okay in the game the other night. He certainly hasn't gotten nearly as much attention as the other four draft picks have so far, but I thought for his, you know, making a jump up from the D2 to the pros in his first game, he had an okay debut, an encouraging debut. So I think really you look at these rookies, and it is encouraging. How about Kyle Fuller? I don't think he's won or lost.
No, but I don't think it's good for him that things kind of remained status quo.
Correct.
I think he needed to.
He's looked better the last few days.
Yeah, he has. You know, and he's had his struggles against certain receivers. I think Camp Meredith has actually had an outstanding training camp, especially down here in Bourbonnais. But he's still a first-round pick, and he should be held by that standard. And you're still looking for a bit more. Now, yeah, he has been better towards the end. I think he closed out today pretty well. But he's still a first-round pick, and I think he should be held to that lofty selection.
On the downside, Kevin White's training camp to me has been concerning. That's what I put it at, and I don't think it's panic mode, because I don't think it's very different than the camp he had last year. He had a quiet August last year too. He had a quiet preseason, and he started to come on week 3, week 4 of the season, and then unfortunately he got hurt. So I got to be honest, I don't know what to make of number 11 right now. It's sort, you know, he's going to be there. You know, he's going to be one of the starters. But it's just how long can you wait? I think it's only fair to wait and see what he looks like in the regular season again. But it's concerning, is the word.
Yeah, I think the storyline is probably going to be the same for him entering the regular season. They're going to try to find ways to get him involved, get him engaged. Remember last year, early in the year, a lot of short passes, screens came his way, crossing routes, just to get him the ball and get him feeling comfortable with making plays and being hit. Maybe you see something very similar. If I had to pick one player who maybe lost some ground, and this is kind of not even his fault, but Jeremy Langford not being able to do anything down here in Bourbonnais. This is a guy who was your starting running back last year when Bourbonnais broke. Kadeem Carey looked pretty good against the Broncos. Tariq Cohen, we talked about him a ton. I mean, he is clearly establishing himself a game day role. And even Benny Cunningham will impress you every now and then at camp. So just the inactivity and just not being able to be on the field. He's got an ankle injury again. Just it's not good for a player that the Bears still see promise and potential in. And who was your number one running back not too long ago?
Yeah, it's interesting because you got a whole group of guys that basically fourth and fifth round picks over the last, 4 years. And it's a pretty deep running back group. So, I mean, you got to give the Bears credit for drafting that way.
I mean, Jordan Howard's your clear number one. And it's all a race to compliment him. And right now, Tariq Cohen has literally separated himself from the pack.
Yeah. Otherwise, I mean, obviously with Purnell's situation, that's tough. I don't know what to make of Ryan Pace's answer there. They seem hopeful that this isn't going to be a thing there. He misses significant time, but you do go up against a clock with the pup list where you have to make a decision before the regular season. And that decision is, does he sit six games or do you keep him on your 53 where he can come back at any time? And the fact that we haven't seen him yet is...
I saw him once at the parking lot.
Yeah.
But just saying, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's your vocal, violent leader of your defense, and that heart and soul stuff still matters, especially for defensive football, especially for Bears football and the tradition and all that stuff. So he's missed just, in a way, spiritually around here, emotionally. It'll be interesting to see, you know, him and Langford, how things kind of proceed with them and their injuries and their place on this team.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much all I got right now. Leonard Floyd, he's
good.
Had a great few weeks, showed it in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I thought that game the other night pretty much matched what we've seen down here.
Yeah. I'm kind of disappointed in relieving. I feel like I just got here in Bourbonnais because I missed
the
first.
Did.
Yeah. And I've gone home a couple times. You
started on the pup list yourself.
More like the drunk list, but I was in Ireland, everybody.
How many nights were you actually down here?
It'll come out to five nights.
So half the nights.
Yes. But I still feel like I learned a lot.
Yeah? Okay. Well.
We'll see. Bourbonnais, like Pace was saying himself, has grown on me.
Yeah. Well, you didn't show up to the basketball game, so.
Anyway.
You don't get credit for
that. All right.
That
podcast is over. Thanks for listening.
That was the, for those that haven't picked up on it yet, that was the tweet that I sent out, the mysterious tweet that really got people concerned.
I know.
I showed up to practice the next day, and people, fans in the crowd were asking me about it. They thought the podcast was in danger.
Yeah. Well, thank you for all our loyal listeners and support. But
yeah.
Don't worry, they just miss my athletic and my intangibles on the court.
It's really we just missed a sub. I would have been fine if Potsy was.
It's not
there.
My fault. You guys are out of shape.
Well, that is actually true and fair. No, all is good here on the podcast.
Yes, fun times ahead.
And we thank Ryan Pace for coming on once again this year. Very nice of him to do so. And in the meantime, follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, Hoge, at Adam Johns, Jahns. It's going to be a busy week. One practice at Hallis, one practice at Prospect High School, and then they go to Arizona.
When's the next podcast? Before or after Arizona?
Probably before.
Okay.
Probably sneak one in this week.
Sounds good.
At some point. If not, it'll be in Arizona. But, read us, wgnradio.com/bearschicagosuntimes.com. And if you don't already, subscribe on iTunes to the podcast. Please rate and review it. Come on, we got the GM on for you today. Go leave it. Just at least go rate it and then maybe review it. Tell us what you thought about.
Please do.
What
Please do.
We appreciate you doing that. It helps spread the word. All right. That's it for us from Bourbonnais. John just got here.
Am I out of the doghouse now?
Yeah, you're out of
I've been hazed the past week because I missed this basketball game. But
you deserved it.
I need a coffee.
All right. Talk to you later in the week.